It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Expectations for Michigan and Michigan State. Ticket text, phone calls, 248-539-9797. It's a football Friday. We'll have Cookie Jar at 9:35. Mike Valeni joins us at 9:18 for his dog of the week. Cash ticket partner. Pass along some bets. Wonder his thoughts on Michigan State football. Here are some of the ticket texts, John. As an MSU fan, I think the offensive line will be as bad as it was last year. I'm thinking 5-7. Would be thrilled to get to a bowl game. That's Dan and Troy. It's one game difference. That's maybe the key, is they got to beat somebody. They've got to flash in one of these spots, step up, and steal a game. Right? I mean, I don't know if it's Rutgers or Maryland early or Boston College on the road. I mean, these are winnable games, but you're going to have to go out and do it.
Right. And you're kind of always looking for those program victories. And it's going to be different every single year when you're talking about, you know, program victories. What does that even mean in the first year of, you know, when you're watching? Is it simply a win over a Big Ten team like Maryland? You know, is that a program victory this year? Is it beating Iowa, who right now is a ranked team?
It's a homecoming game.
That would be a program victory because I don't see it. You know, hey, you face Indiana, that should be a win. You add Illinois, maybe that's a program victory because we don't know what they're going to be. They looked pretty good last night, but you can't already tell against the competition right now. Purdue, Rutgers, I'm not going to put those guys in that category, but there are a couple of teams on the schedule where you're looking for one of those this year where you play above your level. Maybe, you know, for what they're supposed to be, and you get a win.
Do we agree with this ticket texter? Jim, it's Michigan State. 75% of the fans don't care. They're there for the party. It's Wrigley Field, but in Lansing. I don't agree with that.
I think Michigan State fans should be excited about a new era, a new opportunity, a new voice, a new image, a new face of the program. That's Jonathan Smith.
Yeah, I think that's, again, I can't speak for a fan base I'm not even a part of, but I feel like that's out of touch. Are there guys and girls that go and party in East Lansing? Yeah.
Sure.
But if your football team has a pulse, people care.
Yeah.
I guess we have to find out if they have a pulse this season, but it's a whole hell of a lot better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that their offensive line is better than it was last year. I'm hoping the team is better than it was last year. And a little shout out to a local, Luke Newman, left guard, transfer from Holy Cross, brother Rice kid, getting a start at left guard there. So let's see. Let's go.
MSU fan, I want 8 wins. I need one that wasn't expected. Show me that this team is ahead of schedule. Talked about it. Program win, steal a game. Mm-hmm. Team with this many questions on offense, this much turmoil off the field. It's a hard schedule. Lucky to win 6 games. Michigan is in for a tough one.
That's on the table. It certainly is on the table.
Wait, well, this was not MSU. He said Michigan.
Yeah, I know.
6 wins.
It's we don't know about the quarterback. We don't know about the offensive line. Donovan Edwards, what do we know about last year, the last couple of years? Okay, big play Dono, but he can't just be big play Dono. It's going to have to be 3, 4, 7 yards a pop. Not just, hey, it's nice to go 85-75 against Ohio State, but you're going to have to carry the ball 20 to 25 times a game.
Who would the 6 losses be? Like, I understand there's a lot to replace, and it's why I think they're a borderline playoff team that they probably won't get in. Find me 6 losses. I'll give you the big 3. Throw USC in there. Road trip to Washington. Like if everything went terribly for Michigan, I still don't find 6 losses on this schedule.
Not likely.
No. Texter says, everybody's overhyping MSU. I think they lose tonight. Okay, we all, well, we didn't all pick
them. They may
them,
not cover.
But you and I
think
picked
they
them
win,
to,
yeah.
To win by two scores. FAU, quick little breakdown, not good. I know it's Tom
Thanks.
Herman. I know it's Tom Herman. Their quarterback, Cam Francher, he's coming in from Marshall, threw as many interceptions as touchdowns a year ago. He's got a brand new O-line in front of him. They bring one receiver over for Marshall. Nobody else has any familiarity with him. You're going on the road at night to kick off your season. And I know Mel Tucker was a horse bleep coach. They got some dudes on defense that I think can surprise. If they actually scheme them, because, I mean, what were some of those schemes? I mean, they're just getting torn apart in the secondary. If there's any honest scheming putting this team in positions to be successful, they got the better dudes.
Well, their head right? coach was a secondary coach. This shouldn't happen, right?
So it made it all that more painful. John, you watched college football last night?
Yes, I did.
Your takeaway?
Watch the Buffaloes. I'm just so excited that it's back. In fact, I was just talking to Doug, and both of us were doing prep last night, watching real live football that mattered.
So felt so good.
And so we've been doing it, watching baseball. We've been doing it, doing different things, the Olympics for a little while, and we're doing our show prep.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I literally was done, but I kept the computer on in front of me just so, you know, when you know, the kids or Lisa came in, they're like, you know, hey, we need to go do something. No. I'm still working.
Gotta get this stuff ready
I'm still working. I didn't even have it on.
And, that's a good trick.
Because I was done and still watching college football. It was just exciting to have it on. And the excitement, even though you're not looking at Colorado to be anything important this year, North Dakota State, not at the FBS level to be important, it was exciting to see fans in the stands. The excitement of college football was live and it was real.
And North Dakota State covered, which is most important if you listen to this show. It was a fun watch. It was back and forth. Colorado can get up and down. I mean, Travis Hunter, the guy doesn't leave the field.
He's fun.
Three touchdowns. He had a 41-yarder to kick things off, their first score of the game. But I continue to look at Colorado, and I continue to ask questions about what kind of program Deion Sanders is building. They got away with one yesterday. They took a ton of penalties, critical penalties, like third down penalties in the game. I don't think they're protecting Shadur enough. Again, repeat of last year. And Deion's a guy that's easy to root against right now. I know he's a former teammate of yours. Like, how do you view Deion?
Well, as a friend, I want to see him be successful. And we need personalities like that in college football, in all of the sports world. So it's entertaining, but it's somewhat exhausting. And it seems like it's, in Boulder, it just feels like it's total chaos. It's just chaos.
He came in, and I like the personality addition, but he came in talking about bringing his own luggage. He's got Louis Vuitton that he's bringing in. You won four games last year, and then you start banning people from asking your Royal Highness questions, and you won four games last year. And I don't know that they're making a bowl game this season, based on what I saw, and I know they won the game. It's a lot of talk that he doesn't back up. He backed it up as a player. He can't back it up as easily as a coach. You're one step removed. And he's talked a lot, and he's acted like they're a 10-win team. He hasn't won 10 games yet. He might not have 10 wins at the end of two seasons. And I think that's what makes him an easy target to root against, because it's talk and it's cheap.
Well, it is. And he can't go out there and play. He can't. His boys can go out there and play. He's got one on each side of the ball. Travis Hunter plays both sides of the ball. They can have some electric moments. Three touchdowns by Travis Hunter. That was fun to watch.
You know his career, Deion, who it's mimicking?
Coaching career, you're saying?
Yeah. It's Bobby Williams. He had a huge splash, and it's just been a disaster since.
Well,
he absolutely didn't capitalize on that splash. We all know the splash was kind of a joke last year when they beat TCU, but at the time, in the moment, people thought, wow, he's got something going here, and it's just been completely sideways since. John, you know, I know you played with him, and you have high regard.
I think a lot of him
as a teammate, and mm-hmm.
He's as a man,
he's always been one of my favorite people in sports. It's gone too far. The recklessness. A head coach shouldn't care about a CBS sports column, okay,
or a local columnist that didn't phrase things to his liking. Like, you don't get to control everybody,
right? Just ignore it,
right?
I don't know. It seems beyond repair. I mean, who knows? Defensively, they're going to be a joke, right?
Potentially, yeah. Can't get off the field.
I mean, I think this close game last night might be a little bit like we might be overreacting. We do that, especially week one.
Well, North Dakota State's not a bad team.
Yeah, they're a good football program. And so, but still, this isn't sustainable.
No, that's why. I mean, chaos is never sustainable. And when you are worried about what other people are saying about your program, you're not going to take questions because you don't like what they said. So you are, I mean, the whole thing that we talk about as athletes and coaches, and it's, you can't ignore it, especially now. But yeah, I don't read the papers. I don't read this. Like, that's what you hear from everybody, not from Deion. You could tell by what he does and what he says, how he operates. He reads every word.
We'll have the latest from the tragic Johnny Gaudreau story in Heather's news. We'll also have Cookie Jar at 9:35. How about an upset special for the weekend? Mike Valeni joins us next. It's 97.1.
You've heard me talk a number of different times, and for a while, about injury attorney David Femeninio. Just listen to some of the results that David has gotten with his team for his injured clients. There's three of them. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for a client. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly and a team that will fight relentlessly for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cash the Ticket episodes are out for week one of college football. Check them out. Good night last night. North Dakota State.
Do you guys do every game?
Damn near every game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we probably pick 20 plus, at least talk about 20 plus. And Mike tries to talk me out of playing 20 games.
That's good advice.
His advice for week one was bankroll management. Don't get carried away. Evaluation. The transfer portal, new rosters. Don't get too carried away, which is why I'll be very curious to hear what he has come up with for his underdog pick of the week. He joins us on Fridays. Mike Valeni, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, sweetheart. You're a hopeless cause. You're going to bet 38 games. We both know it. So I give up.
Well, Mike, so to your point, week one, transfer portal. Everyone's in a new spot, new coaches, new players. How do you even know what is, other than Georgia, how do you even know what you're looking at?
You don't. No, John, I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, look, I got very fortunate last night. Like, I liked North Carolina. I made an assumption that Max Johnson would just be slightly less ass than he normally is. Not only was he equally as bad as I remember, then he got hurt. So you just start looking at things, and it's like, okay, North Carolina, good recruiting, ton of talent up front. They got that 5'11 guard Lumpkin I really like. But, like, John, you don't. And I got lucky. I mean, I needed a missed kick at the end to win the game, laying 1.5 and win by 2. You don't. But with Jim, it doesn't matter, John. You're not going to talk him out of it. You just, he's a runaway train. You just let it go.
Before we get to your underdog pick, we were talking Spartan football. Expectations for tonight and for the season?
I mean, who the hell knows? Here's my one thing, and Rico gets upset, but whatever, I don't care. It's not acceptable in the NIL era where you can buy a roster and the transfer portal where you can patch holes to go out and, at a program like MSU and go 4-8 or 5-7. It's just not. That's a far cry from winning 8 or 9 games, but I don't know if that's answering your question, Jim, but like, I just honestly, if this guy goes 4-8 or 5-7, he can go back to Beaverton, Oregon. I'm not here for it. It's not the old way. You don't get 5 years. You don't even get three. And you get to put together a roster quickly. Like, look, tonight, I don't know if Aiden Childs is any good. I know the pedigree, and I watched him at Oregon State when he was given the one series per quarter. But when you roll out and pay seven figures for a quarterback, you're damn right I expect you to be good. So that's the hard part, because I don't want it to be like pro football. I like the idea of guys working their way up. Like, I like the idea of a Davis Warren, a guy who stuck it out, got his opportunity, whatever it may be. So tonight, probably a lot of running the football, probably a lot of just base stuff, because we have 62 new players and I can't name 40 of them.
Okay, what's the underdog pick then for you? We're going to have you on every week, and I'm curious what we're doing with this. Are you taking teams to win outright, or is it just, hey, a team that's a big dog that you think can cover the big number?
It's your guy's show. You tell me what you want.
What do you have prepared, I guess?
You know my deal is, like, we always say this on the pod, is, like, points are like vitamins. You just take them. You know, like, whatever. I don't believe in the money line thing. That's just greedy. So, like, example, like, I really like USC against LSU. +4.5. You know, I want those 4.5 points in my pocket because I think it could be a game of who has it last. But I like, obviously, I mean, Miller Moss took the job. He fought off Malachi Nelson. He fought off the transfer Malieva from UNLV. I love their talent. I know their defense, it's terminally bad. But Danton Lynn, the minute he went with UCLA, took the defense over, worked the bowl game for USC, and had immediate influence where they only missed like three tackles in the game, and on the year they missed like 140. LSU, they didn't go out and replace their NFL talent. The losses are huge. I mean, from Jaden Daniels to Nussmeier, from Malik Nabers to your neighbor, and defensively, Brian Kelly, I don't know what the hell he was doing, but like, they didn't go out and spend the money they have to bring in a legitimate defensive coordinator. So I like USC getting the 4.5, and you know the other one, Jimmy. I like UNLV getting 2.5 at Houston. Willie Fritz has taken over a disaster. You get the go-go offense. They brought in a pair of 1AA All-Americans and Haj Malik Williams and Lutzka, the kid from Holy Cross. They've got Ricky White, who's going to be an All-American wide receiver. And you get tempo, which I'm sure John will speak to. The last thing you want to see in week one of a season, when you really don't know what the other team's going to do, is something called the go-go offense, where they're running a play every 18 seconds. So I'd probably take UNLV with the 2.5 there.
Those picks and more on Cash the Ticket, the only podcast. Keep an eye on the Holy Cross football roster, keeping you ready for the next season.
We got you.
I know we do.
BC dead to rights last year. Come on. I know. Get with it.
And I am not a lost cause. Talk to you later, buddy.
See you later, pal. Yep. Bye.
I say to myself, I don't know how true that might be. I'm not a lost cause. I'm winning these bets. It's not a problem if you're winning, right?
Yeah. As long as you keep winning, and then you keep winning, and keep winning. The problem with betting is that
you don't keep winning.
You don't keep winning.
It's a long season. I'll ride the highs as long as I can. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, tributes are pouring in on social media following the tragic deaths of Columbus Blue Jacket star Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew. The brothers were riding their bikes Thursday evening in New Jersey when they were struck by a passing vehicle. Police say a 43-year-old man driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee attempted to pass a slower-moving sedan and an SUV and then hit the brothers from behind. They were pronounced dead at the scene. Officials say the driver is suspected of being under the influence of alcohol and has been charged with 2 counts of death by auto. Johnny was 31 years old. His brother Matthew, 29.
I'm 31. Like, it just puts it in perspective when you... And the guy was just going out to ride his bike with his brother. The day before a family wedding.
Yes, his sister, Katie, was scheduled to get married today. They were both going to be groomsmen in her wedding. I'm guessing that's not happening. Tragic. Johnny was a married, had 2 young kids at home, a 1-year-old and a 6-month-old. Obviously, brothers, sons, think of their parents. It's a tragic story all around. Let's hear this. Just before 3:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, $3.7 million worth of cocaine was seized at the Blue Water Bridge.
Wow.
Yes. Let's see. 2 Canadian residents were stopped at the bridge. They were pulling a trailer, and they were told, they told the officers, hey, like, we're drivers. This is what we do. We're truck drivers. We cross the border regularly. But they did an x-ray scan of the vehicle. Something was off. Canines were brought in. They alerted authorities to a possible presence of narcotics. And they found it. 115 bricks of cocaine weighing about 275 pounds were discovered. Officials believe that these two men were involved in a large-scale drug distribution scheme. And going to be facing lots of charges.
So not for long. They're not doing that anymore.
No. This is a good story. Last August, a French bulldog named Leo went missing from a backyard in Dearborn. And 10 months later, he was rescued by Detroit Animal Control and is now one step closer to being reunited with his family, who now live in Arizona. Leo was discovered in this abandoned home on the city's east side. Officials say that the owner's sister, who still lives in the Metro Detroit area, is going to be bringing the dog home to their family in Arizona. So, good story.
It's a positive story on a Friday.
Yes. The Chicago Bears are going to be getting a whole bunch of dude wipes thanks to a rookie mistake. Did you hear about this story?
No, but we were just having this conversation.
What?
Not about the Bears, but I'll tell you.
About dude wipes?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Dude Wipes is involved with another NFL team, but more on that in a second.
Oh, really? Okay, so anyway, on the final episode of Hard Knocks, a rookie was tasked with picking up some booty wipes, or whatever you want to call them. Dude Wipes is the official name of this company.
There are other butt wipes.
Okay. And he made the mistake of going and bringing back a whole like container of Clorox wipes.
It'll do the job, but it might sting a bit.
And this is what went down in the show.
It's funny this comes up.
Yeah, because before the show, I was listening to another show on my way in this morning.
Okay.
And they were talking about dude wipes, and they have a sponsorship with the Cleveland Browns.
Huh.
The Browns have the longest streak of not having a kickoff return for a touchdown. So if you enter the competition, if they do break the streak and get a kickoff return for a touchdown, one of the lucky winners, registrants, will get $100,000. So it is, you know, dude wipes is to stop the Brown streak.
Creative marketing.
Creative. I like it.
Yeah. They are hilarious.
I like it. So anyway, Dude Wipes also heard this go down and they thought, well, we better deliver a whole bunch of actual butt wipes to the team. So that's what they're doing. That's the news.
That's the news. Yeah. Yep. We've got Cookie Jar coming up next. The theme is football and more, including a question about your shower habits. It's 97.1. Wrapping up the week on a Friday, week one, college football. Excited to take it all in. Congrats, we made it to Friday, and congrats, we made it to football season.
Mm-mm-mm. What a great 10 days we have ahead of us.
It's a beautiful thing. Next week, the NFL comes into the fold, but enjoy as much college football as you can possibly handle. The cookie jar this week features football and more. Football and more. We start with the football. John? Yep. Many are going to partake in a tailgate this weekend. Spartan Stadium tonight, Ann Arbor tomorrow. What's the best tailgate food?
It'll vary from person to person. For me, especially since I get there so early in the morning, I love to have a bagel sandwich, breakfast sandwich. Get yourself a fresh bagel, cream cheese, hot jalapenos, cheddar cheese, and then you top it off. That's how you have to put it on there, because the jalapenos you kind of shove into the cream cheese so they stick.
Mm-hmm.
Put the cheddar cheese slice on top, and then some hot off-the-grill sausage patties go on top of that just to melt the cheese a little bit. Finish it off with the bagel, and I cannot wait. We won't have any this week because we have to have a 7:30 kick. We'll probably have the walking taco, something like that, but what bagel sandwich next week against Texas? Noon kick.
So it sounds incredible. I'm just a little confused. There's no bacon on this sandwich.
No bacon on this one.
Okay.
No.
Okay. No. Heather, tailgate food, best one.
Well, I'm not much of a foodie, and most of my tailgates don't surround food. So I would say the pickle and a Bloody Mary.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm not eating a lot. I'm drinking most of my calories.
Sure. There you go.
Like respectable. Pickle.
How about a sausage and peppers? That is outstanding at a tailgate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're going to, saute up a little sausage and peppers. You could even grill the sausage.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I was going to say, to me, it's a bratwurst. You're at the tailgate on a cold, chilly October day. You got the bratwurst. You got the caramelized onions you put on top of it.
So you want the sausage and Heather wants the pickle.
Yes, John. Greg, do you have a preference, the go-to?
Gosh, those all sound so good. You know, a good breakfast burrito is solid.
Heather. It's okay.
A good breakfast burrito?
Yeah.
I'm
also
all for
means that the game's at noon, by the way, John.
Yes.
What is in this breakfast burrito?
You know, your standard breakfast eggs burrito food, your eggs,
sausage, bacon.
Maybe a little bacon bits in there. Some
potatoes.
Peas. Oh, yeah. Potatoes, yeah.
No. No, I'm going to get the potatoes.
I learned this about you coming back from Vegas. You don't like potatoes in a breakfast burrito.
No, don't want any part of it. No.
What if they're like crispy hash browns? Can we work with that? That's a no. All right.
I don't like potatoes in them either, and I'll go that way with an omelet, too. No, thank you. Okay. I'll eat the hash browns all day long on the side. If I don't want the potatoes in my omelet.
If it's a country omelet that's smothered in gravy, it now becomes more of a skillet than it is a burrito an omelet.
I think the food choices may have tipped the hand of this next one. When your team's playing a big game on a Saturday, what's the best kickoff time?
100% flat out, no debate. Noon. Noon. I will fight anyone that says otherwise.
Well, put them up. I'm going primetime night game all day to look forward to it under the lights. Nothing beats the atmosphere of a night game.
I'm going noon, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why?
2-1.
Because if it was a 7 o'clock game, I'd probably be drinking all day and I wouldn't make it to the game. Hence why I never made it to a game while I went to Michigan State. Never in my life.
Never?
No. Also why I don't eat the food at tailgates because I'm always drinking too much.
So I said earlier the people party at East Lansing and you gave me a look like, yep, we do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I know why.
I want Heather to come to one of the tailgates in Ann Arbor. I just want to see tailgate Heather.
Sloshed on her way to the game.
Uh-huh.
She's not making it.
I don't have to get her a ticket. She's not going to the game. I'll buy her a couple of drinks. There you go.
Noon. When you're driving to the game, you're not missing other college football games that are being played because you're playing in the first window. You watch the game, your team wins, you go home, you watch the tail end of the 3:30 game.
Second half, probably.
Yeah. Then you watch the night game.
Yeah.
You watch upon a grateful universe.
Yep.
Tom?
All I have to add to this conversation is there's actually two people on the show that never went to their alma mater's football games. Heather and me. I thought
really?
I was the only one. I never knew you didn't go to a Michigan State game.
I never made it to a game.
You haven't been to the factory, Ryan-Earson Stadium?
That's what they call it.
With the gray turf?
I went to a commuter school, okay?
Yeah, I know.
And the football team was atrocious. Actually, Charlie Batch played the first year I was there. I didn't go see him.
Well, they renamed the field.
After Max Crosby, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And TJ
TJ,
played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Notable Eastern Michigan alumni.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Franchise owner. Professional franchise owner.
John, besides your team, what's the best college football tradition out there?
I would love to go to Virginia Tech, and when they play Enter Sandman at the beginning of the game, to me, when you see it on TV, it just fires you up. I can only imagine when they play that and the team runs out, the stadium, it's got to be unbelievable to me. That is one of the best you're going to find in college football.
Heather, I'd ask, but I don't think you've made it into the games.
Let's pass.
All right. Greg?
I feel like Dabo Swinney has kind of ruined this a little bit because he always makes sure that he's the first guy
Howard's
out there
Rock.
And doing that. Howard's Rock is awesome. And 100 guys running down a hill to enter a football stadium is an insane idea.
It takes
so
practice.
Much can go wrong.
It takes practice. I bet you they practice that because if you've ever run down a hill, especially when you're jacked up before a game, I can only imagine the disaster that could ensue.
I'm going to go jump around. Camp Randall. That place is rocking. Yeah. It's an old war stadium. It's classic college football with the new vibe around it. Jump around. Next question. Should school start before or after Labor Day?
Before.
I'm going to say before, too. Now, I don't have kids in school yet. That might change, but I think before.
Yep. Get them in. Get them going.
Uh-huh.
Football for that age, it's usually a nighttime practice anyway, so they're not going to miss anything. Get them going. Get back into the rhythm, routine. And I would rather have them out earlier in the summer than have them later at home because, I can't have as much fun with them now as I can then.
They've had enough time home during the summer. Get them back in school.
Yeah.
See, growing up, it was post-Labor Day for me, so that's just normal to me. So
And that's how it was for me, too. And yeah. I agree, actually, it should be post-Labor Day because you're just less susceptible to canceling class like we did this week with heat. The farther you get into fall, the less likely it is.
Ties up with football season, back to school
season.
John
likes that idea. That reason, I can tell you like that reason.
No. It's not the reason. It's did we have any heat days back in the day when we were in school?
See, fed the beast.
Uh-huh.
What's on your phone home screen? You learn a lot about a person. What is it?
I've got the kids. And it was the kids when they were all, we got a big rock in our front yard. They were all, had the glasses on looking up at the solar eclipse. That's my home screen.
Now I have on the lock screen or the home screen?
Is it different for you?
Yes. I've got one kid on the lock screen and the other kid on the home screen.
What does it say about you if you're the lock screen? And what does it say about you if you're the home screen? Which one's better?
They're both the same. I mean, I see
of
both.
Of course you'd answer
I see
both.
I guess I see the lock screen the most.
Yeah.
So and that's Brooks the favorite. So Brooks is the winner.
Yeah. I have a different one on my iPad than I do on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that matters. The one on my iPad, because it's bigger, it's up me up in Northwest Ontario fishing. Oh. Yeah.
Greg?
Dreaming.
Just John.
Yeah.
Kind of narcissistic.
And a big old walleye.
Says a lot about him. Yeah.
It says a lot about him.
Mm-hmm. I love you, walleye.
Me and my walleye. Yes.
Have my son on my home screen. Have my wife and my son on my lock screen.
Mine is my wife from when we were on our most recent trip. I like to cycle through with different things, just us out to dinner. It's a picture of her.
Yeah. What about Roomba? Didn't make it?
He occasionally will make his way onto the home screen. He's not currently there.
He doesn't have kids, so.
Yeah.
Pets
got a cat.
Yep. All right, last one. What's the proper way to stand in the shower? Facing the water or facing away?
It's all depending on the timing of the process of the shower, because you got to wash off both sides.
When you get into the shower, what way do you face the majority of the time? Are you typically facing the water for most of the shower or facing away?
At the beginning of the shower, I'm facing the water. At the end of the shower, because I like to have the hot water. I have some neck issues, so I like to have it on my neck, so I'm facing away. So I guess I would be 50-50.
Heather?
I face the shower. For the obviously, yes, you need to turn around in the shower. You're always like turning around, but for the majority, I am like facing the water. I feel like I'm just like warmer that way.
Yeah. When I wash my feet.
Oh, yeah.
This is something that maybe you take a note to. From experience,
yes.
You have to face the shower, or if you're facing away, it can be uncomfortable.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I had never put much thought into this.
Everything.
Yeah, no thanks. I had never put a lot of thought into this until someone put this in the cookie jar, and I realized I face away. I like the warm water hitting my back. I don't want water getting in my face.
Well, you don't have to have it on your face. You could have it on your chest.
I
guess you are smaller. Maybe you can't adjust it that far low.
John, the water comes from above. For most people who aren't giants.
No, it doesn't. It actually comes out at about head level, yeah.
If your shower should be above your head.
It should be, yeah.
Yes.
Not every house you can do that in. I mean, it's, yeah. I live in an older home.
I get it. You're an ogre, and there's no shower that could possibly.
No. I had one up when I lived in northern Michigan that would, you know, come out of the ceiling. So, yeah it was.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Greg, did you answer this?
No, but pretty much what Heather said. But John, to answer your question about washing my feet, I actually turn away from the shower and I'm washing my feet and get the scrubber.
Oh, you get
on
the
my feet that way.
You get the bidet feel.
It doesn't quite get up in there like that.
Well, it's a different direction of water.
Again, it all depends on how tall you are.
Well. I mean, is the shower head down on the ground? Like, that's a little different situation.
No, the shower is literally, as I look at the shower head coming out of the wall, it's at chin level.
Yeah, but if you turn around to wash your feet, the water is still going, it's not like shooting up.
No, it's not shooting up. No, but if you're bending over and you point the camera at the shower head.
Okay, but
wait, why
whatever.
Is there a camera in there?
Oh, it's not a camera. It's the...
Because when I shave my legs, I turn around. I don't face the shower when I'm doing that.
You turn around?
Well, yeah, we have like a little bench, so I put my feet up there.
Okay.
A foot.
Yeah, so you're raising your feet up.
Yes.
Yeah, when you're bending over to wash your feet, your butt's in the air.
illuminating stuff. We've learned so much. It's the Cookie Jar. It's 97.1.
And we talk about a lot of things here. We like to cover a lot of topics. One of them you've heard us talk quite a bit about is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. There are a lot of different things going on this year, but at the start of the NFL season, now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. That's all customers, and all you got to do is bet $5 and you're going to get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you're going to be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. There's a lot going on there. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and then you can cancel at any time. Visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to download America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, John, before I read the ticket text, you have some comments from Twitch, people reacting to the cookie jar.
Oh, yeah. So first of all, about the food and the college noon game. College football and noon go together like cream cheese and jalapenos. Canceling school because of heat. Back in my day, you just opened a window. Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. To really wash everything, you need bench seating in your shower. I get that.
I've got an issue with that. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
I have a bench in my shower.
You don't wash everything.
Sit on it though. I don't.
It bothers you, yeah, or you just don't.
No, it feels dirty. Like it just doesn't feel.
It's in your shower.
I know. Okay.
Yeah, you just don't want a naked butt sitting on a chair.
Yes.
Okay.
That's been in the shower and I don't know. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
If only there was soap or something to wash it off.
If only. Right?
Yes. I know. Yes. Some Clorox wipes. Cost of having his back to the shower is not surprising.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I guess it's not just surprising.
Fits. Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Jeez, Jansen, you're not spreading your cheeks unless you are.
Did you say that? Did I get lost in there?
Yes, that is, that's on Twitch. So if you'd like to interact with us, twitch.tv.
Some ticket texts, 248-539-9797. That's a drop. You don't have to have it on your face. You can have it on your chest, Sean and Wayne. Texter says, John, what do you have, a house from the 1850s? Your shower head's not even 6 feet tall?
No, 6 feet would be right about chin level. So that's what I said, right?
So it's a 6 feet.
Yeah, it's about there, yeah.
I don't think it'd be taller, unless it's a house from 100.
It's an older home.
Texter says, I can't reach our shower head, signed Colin.
Heather!
I need some help adjusting this. Can't reach.
I keep spraying me in the face. Why do you do this to me?
So we learned that Heather doesn't wash her feet and John doesn't wash his ass. Wow. Dell in Detroit.
I know I do. I just don't like the bidet situation.
No, that's all we have for the shower.
People who have not been listening
are very confused.
Are confused about the short joke of Colin.
Mm-hmm. It's a running joke. It all goes back to Amon-Ra St. Brown and,
yes,
and
Wee Man.
Little Man.
Yes. This is all reaction to Cookie Jar. If you missed it, use the rewind. If you missed Alan Trammell, who he thinks is part of the Tigers' core, use the Odyssey rewind, go back and listen. A couple more ticket texts. This one says, on Apple, you can have a rotating lock screen where every time you look at your phone, it's a different picture. Perfect for people with multiple kids.
Oh, that's cute.
Or one picture with all the kids.
All of them. Yeah. This one says, cats on the home screen, cookies, LOL. Mm. If you don't have kids, you have pets. What's wrong with putting a pet on the home
screen? Nah, I'd rather pick a favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. Costa's lying. He has Valeni as his screensaver. You're laughing a little too hard.
Well, yeah, better yet. I think Mike might have you since you're his kid.
Oh, no. Don't say that. He doesn't want kids. I don't want any part of that. This one says, best tradition in football is the March of the Cadets and the Midshipmen Army Navy. We're talking best college traditions that aren't your school.
Yep.
Grand Valley plays Enter Sandman at their football games, and it's a great atmosphere.
Yeah, that's an awesome way to come in to a stadium.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.